This is KFFR Winter Park Community Radio for the Fraser Valley and the headwaters of the Colorado River at 88.3 FM and streaming worldwide at kffr.org. We are joined on the line by Dr. Rachel Herlihy, state epidemiologist with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Good morning, Dr. Herlihy.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Describe, what do you do as the state epidemiologist?
Sure. So as a state epidemiologist, I lead work in the state, particularly around communicable diseases, to investigate their causes, how they are being transmitted, and then work to implement preventive strategies to prevent transmission of those diseases.
Right now, Colorado is reporting a little over 14,000 confirmed coronavirus cases. In your estimation, is that an accurate picture of the number of people infected?
Unfortunately, it's not. So we do know that there is underreporting, and that occurs actually not just with COVID-19, but with all reportable conditions, other communicable diseases. And so one of the things that happens is not everyone who develops an illness necessarily seeks healthcare for that illness. If you think of it sort of as a pyramid or an iceberg, perhaps, we know that, you know, the top of the iceberg is what we typically are able to identify. And those are going to be the people that present to a healthcare provider, have testing done, and have more severe illness, perhaps. So those might be the people that are more likely to be hospitalized or even potentially deaths that occur to an infection. And so one of the things that is happening right now with COVID-19 in Colorado and across the country is there's limited access to testing. And so because of that, we are not able to identify every case as it occurs in the state. And that testing capacity is increasing over time. But at this point, we've been estimating that about probably a third of symptomatic cases that are occurring in the state are being reported to public health. So if we estimate right now, we've got roughly 15,000 cases, that probably means there's been about 45,000 people in the state that have had symptomatic infection due to COVID-19. We also know with COVID-19 that there can be lots of asymptomatic infections. So these are going to be individuals who are infected, but perhaps never know they actually had the virus. And for those numbers, we anticipate that there could be even more than 100,000 individuals in Colorado that have been infected in total. So putting the total number, including asymptomatic and symptomatic, at around 100,000.
And we have been hearing from Governor Polis that there are plans to increase testing in the state. Who is going to be eligible and who will be getting those tests?
Yeah, so our goal is that anyone who develops symptoms of COVID-19 will eventually be able to have access to testing. And so that is certainly what we are working towards. We're also prioritizing testing for outbreaks and certain higher risk workers. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to provide that testing to everyone, but that is our goal, and we're working towards that in the next couple of weeks.
How are asymptomatic infections going to be kind of identified in the state, or is that part of our plan?
Yeah, so I think there's certain places where it might be more important to be able to identify asymptomatic infections. But in general, identifying asymptomatic individuals is going to be quite challenging. And so our focus is really going to be on the highest risk settings. So for example, one setting where it might be important to know about potential asymptomatic transmission would be, you know, a long-term care facility or a nursing home. In those settings where we have our highest risk population, that would be a type of place where we want to make sure that asymptomatic transmission is not occurring, or we want to make sure we can detect it as early as possible to prevent outbreaks from occurring.
What role does contact tracing play as Colorado is moving forward with lessening our restrictions?
Yeah, so contact tracing is one important piece of the puzzle, obviously. There's lots of strategies that we know we need to use going forward to control the amount of transmission of COVID-19 that's occurring in the state. And obviously an important part of that is continued social distancing strategies. But a part of it is also using aggressive disease interventions. So that includes things like identifying cases early and isolating those individuals, and then working with those individual cases to find out everyone they've been in contact with. And so that's what contact tracing is. And then for those contacts, providing quarantine recommendations to those individuals so that should they develop symptoms, they would not go on to transmit an infection to additional people. And that's obviously an important part of preventing ongoing transmission in the state, but needs to be paired with other strategies as well.
We're talking to Dr. Herlihy, the state epidemiologist with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Dr. Herlihy, social distancing is designed to flatten the curve. What would help us have fewer cases instead of just spreading out those numbers?
Yeah, so really what we need to do is build immunity in the state. And that is really, and I think there's lots of questions still about whether or not there is long-lasting immunity to this infection, but to really try and prevent cases from occurring, we're going to need things like effective treatments and vaccines. And that's unfortunately what is still many months away. And so until we get to that point where we have effective treatment and vaccines that can really intervene, prevent infections or treat infections early, we need to rely on strategies that minimize the amount of transmission that's occurring. And so the goal is really to avoid a large peak in disease and try and maintain the sort of steady state plateau of transmission of disease in the state. And to do that through things like social distancing, aggressive, you know, disease containment strategies, those things I was, you know, what I was just talking about a couple minutes ago with contact tracing. So to have this plateau of illness that allows us to build immunity up in our community so that, you know, we can eventually have a community, a state that has high rates of immunity, but to do so at a low enough level of transmission that we don't exceed our healthcare capacity. So we want transmission to stay below this threshold of which we would exceed the number of hospital beds we have or the number of ICU beds we have or the number of ventilators we have in the state.
What message do you have for people as they begin to step out of the confinement of stay-at-home orders and transition to the safer at-home period here?
Yeah, so one of the things that the governor has said is that, you know, safer at home is certainly not the end of social distancing. So social distancing needs to continue at high levels, especially for individuals who might be higher risk. So, you know, anyone over the age of 65 and people who have chronic medical conditions, those people especially need to continue to socially distance at the level we were at the stay-at-home order. For other individuals, the general public, we also need continued high levels of social distancing. So to put it into some numbers, what we were saying we were able to achieve during the stay-at-home order was social distancing at the level of 75 to 80%. And our goal is to, during the safer at-home period of time, still maintain social distancing levels at high numbers, so probably in the range of 60 to 65%. So that certainly does not mean that, you know, everything can open up and individuals can interact and be out in public like they were prior to the pandemic. We really need to still continue to maintain high levels of social distancing.
And maintaining these higher levels of social distancing, plus kind of what you were saying about developing more immunity in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so by just maintaining these high levels, but not extreme levels, will that help develop the immunity that you're talking about?
Yes. And so, yeah, the idea is to when in moving from stay at home to safer at home is to really try and maintain social distancing at a level that is sustainable, right? So levels that can allow us to return to some level of normalcy and a functioning economy, but still provide enough protection that we maintain this low level of disease transmission that doesn't exceed our healthcare capacity.
Dr. Herlihy, can you talk about the racial breakdown of people impacted by COVID-19 in the state and how it reflects our overall population?
Yeah, so we certainly have seen that certain racial and ethnic groups have been more greatly impacted than the general population. And that, unfortunately, I think is quite common with many communicable diseases and also chronic diseases. We know that there are longstanding inequities that, you know, result in the higher burden of disease being observed in certain populations versus others. And so we are seeing, unfortunately, you know, greater rates of disease and potentially in some cases, greater rates of mortality in certain racial and ethnic groups, including Hispanics, African-Americans in particular. We're also, I think, starting to gather more data about our American Indian population, Alaska Native population, and also Pacific Islanders. So watching those trends and certainly recognize that there are inequities that exist that that we need to address through public health programming.
Dr. Herlihy, is there anything else you'd like to share this morning?
I think it's just important for people to remember that, you know, this safer at home period of time is not a return to normal, that social distancing continues to be important, and that those social distancing measures are important to really try and protect our most vulnerable individuals in our communities. So it's, you know, we're doing this to really try and protect our older adults and those among us that have chronic medical conditions.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Dr. Rachel Herlihy is the state epidemiologist for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment.